Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's show, we're answering your sex and relationship questions, including how to date online when you have kids, what to do when she comes too quickly, and why your partner's fantasies are not a threat. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
To Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com and subscribe. We make it so easy there. Subscribe to the newsletter, our social media, subscribe to the podcast. I think there's a subscribe button now, right? Or like a page that says like, hey, here's what's happening with us.
It should almost be prescribed because it's almost like a drug.
Prescribe, it is like a drug,
prescribe
Anderson.
Prescribe to Sex with Emily.
Prescribe if you want to fix what ails you.
Hi, Em, what's up?
Hi, it's good to see you, honey.
It's good to see you, kid.
I know, how you doing now that you're a dad?
I'm well, I'm happy to be here. I feel like a little bit awake for the first time all week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because this is life. Sex, talking about sex, hanging with me.
Sitting across from you and talking on your show is very, very, it's invigorating. I enjoy it. I look forward to this time of the week every week. And here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I love it.
When I came in, I couldn't help but notice that somebody was sitting in my chair. And then I realized it wasn't a somebody. It was a thing. And it was wrapped. And
it's a wrapped gift.
What is that?
It's for you and your wife and little baby Atticus.
I've been a dad for just over 3 weeks now. And here's the thing about newborns.
Tell me about it.
Okay, moms, like, they just love them. It's instinctual because they've been growing inside of them. And from the moment before they even see the baby, like, she's already in love with this kid. For the dad, it's like it's a learning curve.
It is.
And I love him. I'd do anything for him.
Of course.
But if this was like, if we lived in some kind of parallel universe where like they started as toddlers and became newborns, I would not be looking forward to this phase.
Right. No, I get it.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Can't talk, can't really even smile. All he does is pees and
cries. It's hard to connect. How do you get right?
But I've had those moments and I absolutely love him. And there's nothing better. Like when I'm actually stressed, I go and I cuddle with him for like about 20, 30 minutes. And he's a really good baby. He only cries when there's something actually going on. But newborns, it's not my jam.
No, dude, I get it.
Looking forward to opening this gift.
Open it.
What is this wrapping paper? It's shower curtain.
Dude, it's special wrapping paper.
Did you know?
Yeah, I got it on your Amazon. You told me you registered.
Oh, you registered for this?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's elephants, and the wife is all about elephants.
I know. Well, I read her mind, actually.
Oh, this is so great.
This is like one of the things on your registry, and it's like a crib thing.
This is so nice, Em. This is so nice.
Yeah. It's elephants, and it's for the crib.
And
so
it goes
every
perfectly with that nursery that I spent 6 months of my life on.
Exactly, right? Should we take a picture of you opening the elephants? Everyone check out our Instagram. This is going to be fascinating.
Oh, sorry. Em, you're so freaking supportive. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, I love you. The baby needs sheets. Isn't that what it is? It was a crib thing. I kept trying to explain to Madison.
We couldn't figure out what it was called. What is it called?
I think it's like a bumper.
Bumper.
That's yeah.
It. Yeah.
Bumper for the crib. And you guys picked with it elephants.
Out. Okay, so anyway.
Thank
happy
you,
Happy baby. Yeah, you're so welcome. But I hear what you're saying, and I think it's probably helpful for a lot of men and women. Like, it's a learned thing having a kid. Like, you're not right away.
No. There's no like how-to book. Well, actually, no. There are a lot of how-to books, but I purposely kind of avoided them because I didn't want to go in feeling like I knew everything. I figure people have been doing this for eons
without books.
Literally, billions of people have done this before me and my wife. And I want to think it was really fun though going through all the milestones that are going to be coming, you know, over the next like 12 months. It's like, oh, this is like month two is when he starts to actually use like pincher grasping and when he starts to smile for real. Like, there's a lot of really fun stuff coming up.
If you didn't read about it.
Well, I was reading the milestones. Just I looked at the chart.
No, right. That's easy. Just quick. And then on month three, if he doesn't smile, you'll be like, God damn it.
They have like charts like he'll be falling behind if he's not doing this. And it's like, all right. I'm not going to do that. Because my wife's way smarter than I am. And she didn't talk until she was like three or something. She was like way behind. And she didn't crawl or walk. Everyone goes at their own pace.
Absolutely. You know? That's good. Well, congratulations. I can't wait to meet the baby. And I'm sorry if you're disappointed that wasn't like a really large
No,
sex
I love
toy.
It.
It's actually
Oh yeah, I was afraid
life.
That it was a blow-up toy or something for the baby. That'd be an odd decision on your part. I want to put it past you though. And also before we move on, let me just say thank you to you and to Madison and your entire team and Eddie and all the listeners who helped out make the campaign so
for your movie
successful. Yeah.
Tell
we got when everything's said and done, we got $85,000 and I asked for $75,000. So it was hugely
successful.
That's
amazing.
And now I have
Anderson's
to make a really
first feature.
Inappropriate feature film that will embarrass my son. Can't wait.
That is great, dude. Yes. That's what you got to do. He'll learn from his dad. He'll be very proud of you. You give birth to a film and a child.
And it's all about sexuality and homosexuality and identity.
Yeah, I almost read the script.
Group mentality. So yeah, it's going to be right up your alley.
I think it's amazing. And that should feel, I hope that you take that in and you feel really, that's a big accomplishment. And I'm very proud of you. So Anderson was doing a crowdfunding campaign. Yeah. And
I've been blathering on about on this show for weeks
but
now.
But it's not, you know, and I just think that it's also a testament to the fact that I've known you for five years now.
You've been the most supportive non-family member during this entire time.
Because
Supportive than the other people that I will not name that I've worked with in the past.
They won't know who they are.
They will never.
But Anderson, because it's so easy to support you. And also, this is if you don't mind me sharing, that like probably a year and a half ago, we used to sit and talk before the Love Line shows about stuff in life.
And I would always get there early.
Right. We'd get there early and we'd sit and talk and we'd do this show there before Love Line. And we were talking. You're just like, I don't
know.
That's
a secret. No one was supposed to know about
it. You're like, you know, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. I'm like, one step at a time.
I never said I didn't know if I could do it.
No, but you were like, I just don't know.
I was just down on myself because I was always behind. I'm always behind. Yeah, behind.
Right. And then you just started doing it and you just started and you got things in place and it all happened. And I think you were like, you were beating yourself up and now it happened. Now you probably
Emily, you were my cheerleader and you were great. And I really, really appreciate that. I'm going to need more of that in the future. So I'm going to lean on you as I'm actually making this thing too.
Don't give up on your dreams is my point.
Yeah.
If you have something you want to do, you're probably in your own way. We're all getting in our own ways, but sometimes you need someone to help you get out of your way.
I just know that I don't want to die with any regrets or any big regrets. You know what I mean? Like I still regret not kissing that girl named Nikki in ninth grade. I should have kissed her and I didn't want to die, never making a movie or trying to have a kid.
Right.
So
exactly. You did both in like a month.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We didn't make it.
Well, I haven't made it yet.
I think that's a good point. I don't have regrets. I always, I think that regrets are a waste of time. What you can do is look at situations, say, you know what? This is what I learned from that time in my life. I didn't have the tools yet to kiss her and have the confidence to kiss the girl or to take that job or to take that risk. But I learned that the next time it happens, I want to, and this is why. Yeah, you just learn from things. Don't hang on to the regret.
If it's a little bit of growth, like all bad things that happen to you, hopefully you can use them as positives down the road. Because I've had a lot of bad things happen to me, but I'm still trucking them.
Every bad thing you get through, and I think the more bad things happen to you in a way, you're even stronger. We learn from all of them.
I must be a very strong man. Mr. Universe over here.
I know, dude. You're doing great. Okay, everyone. So back to this. There's just so much. I feel like
sex
I haven't
in the news?
Seen you. Well, in a minute. But first, I want to talk about how much I love lube. because
you're sucking on some right now.
My listeners,
kind
of. This is my head spray, but okay. I've been amazed because our lube survey is about to end because the people at Joe who make lube, we love them. They asked me what my dream lube would be, so we started a lube survey because I said, well, I'll make a dream lube, but I want to talk to my listeners and see what kind of lube they want. So anyway, we put up a survey and we've had like over 1,000 responses. So we've extended it like another week or so. Go to sexwithemily.com/dreamlube. Take a very short survey. It'll take you about 5 minutes. And there's also some questions on there that have been really helpful about the show. Like what people like, they don't like, stuff like that. But again, it's 5 minutes. We appreciate it. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. And yeah, we do. Now we have some sex in the news.
Sex in the news.
Okay, more than 1 in 10 college students have slept with a professor. I just found this interesting because I didn't know anybody. Maybe everyone was sleeping with professors, but they didn't admit it in college. I would never have looked at a professor and thought that's someone who's even attractive or an option or anything like that. Because maybe I was very innocent.
I'm with you.
Living in
Michigan. I've never been attracted to any of my professors. I know that's a lot of people's fantasies, but not... And I never had friends that slept with a professor. So I'm thinking maybe this sample came from one college and there was one professor over there that was banging everybody.
I don't think so. Okay, the numbers behind the survey from the folks at collegestats.org, who must know something, would surprise anybody. It says they don't think the numbers would. Everyone has a friend in their friend circle hooked up with a professor or TA, which I do not.
Nor do
during their four-year undergrad experience. Hell, maybe it was even you. It might be unethical for the folks, the administration, but everyone knows chemistry happens. You put a bunch of horny 20-somethings together for the sake of higher education, and here's what happens. So over half of us admit to fantasizing about a professor.
Never.
52%. 1 in 4 would act if they knew they would get caught. So chances are at least one of your lecture mates got dirty with the professor or TA. 3 in 20 students have had an affair. And 1 in 5 of the affairs with a teacher of the sciences.
What?
I don't know what that means. Why would you be with the sciences?
Because it's so boring, maybe?
Maybe. And maybe they somehow feel
maybe
like
it's biology.
Science. I don't know.
You're like, hey, I'll show you a little biology
anatomy
after class.
I have no idea.
Science teachers aren't hot. I'm thinking
maybe
back to all
thing
of my science teachers. None of them are hot.
Yeah, but you might find their minds really sexy. And
their
I don't think
minds
you can't say science teachers all are not hot.
The thing about osmosis. No, that's not hot.
I mean, it's true. It's true. I might sleep with them to get a better grade. I would never even do that.
Oh, you just admitted to maybe being a whore.
I wish I was a whore. I think I'd have better stories. I was never a whore. Never too late. Whatever that means, even. How would you even define a whore?
Hey, you're getting paid a favor for sex.
And people assume that I am. You might as well already, you might as well hit that, tap that.
Tap it? Offering your services?
No, I'm just saying, like, I was never a whore, but people assume it, so I might as well.
Right.
But I'm not even interested right now. It's a longer story. Okay. Yeah. So let's move on to, I have another one.
Do you?
Sex in the News? Yeah.
Don't have to ask me. You know, I love the sex in the news.
You love sex in the news. 18 things everyone should know about sex according to Reddit. So we were talking before the show.
Yes.
You and Madison, producer Madison, think that everyone knows what Reddit is.
Reddit
is
very important.
I'm not sure that everyone knows.
Well, you have so many listeners. I'm sure there's at least a couple out there that aren't familiar with Reddit, but Reddit is massive.
It is massive, but I feel like it is the sort of like underground, like underbelly.
Well, one of the
web
reasons why it's trusted by the millennials is because it's not like owned by any kind of giant corporation, even though it has been sold. I think it did sell about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I don't know anything internet. I try to just only watch movies.
You don't
That's
know
how
anything
I live.
Internet, right.
Try not to go on the internet at all.
Do you watch a movie a night? I know, even before maybe.
Do I watch
How many movies do you watch a night or a week?
I have to watch at least 5 for my shows.
And you always have consistently.
Yes. It's a lot of movies. Saw one today, right before I came here.
That's amazing.
Moonlight. Yeah. It's a movie about homosexuality in the inner cities. It's a tough one. Yeah,
it's a tough one, especially now. But
a black dude living the gay life in the urban modern day city is a sad, sad guy.
Is
so
this a new
little
movie?
Love. Yeah. It's out right. It'll probably make some noise at the award season. Okay. Moonlight.
Yeah. All right. So once again, okay, when it comes to sex, well, this is about Reddit because I do get the Reddit boards, but you go down this thing and you're like, half the people are like, I don't agree with you. Like, I get it's a place for people to express. It's like basically a
sounding board.
It's
yeah.
Like the
and
largest
you can curate
message board.
It so you can only see the stuff that you want to see, like that you're interested in, and you can see the people's opinions about it.
Right. But according to these Reddit people, that there was an Ask Reddit thread about what everyone should know about sex. And they thought that many of the responses were so dead on accurate.
Okay.
And I don't know who picked on Reddit.
Right.
Was the authority that said these are pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the ones that came up as many times, so many times, mm-hmm. Repeatedly.
Right.
So
it's like a vote.
Okay. So I'm going to say, like, I agree with these. So one says always pee after, always. Uh-huh. I agree. Because I think it's a good refresher if I would too, because I'm just going to read the ones that I totally agree with. You should always pee after sex, men and women. Pee. Get that bacteria out. Something got in there. Get mm-hmm. it out.
And give yourself an excuse to go to the bathroom and high five yourself for a job well done.
Exactly. There can be weird and awkward bodily noises. Just laugh it off or ignore it. So true. We get asked a lot, like, what happens if I queef? What if I fart? What do I do? Right. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Laugh or don't laugh. Just keep going. If you're having sex, no one cares. And I think when you're younger and starting out, you worry about all these things. But
get out
sex
of your
is
head,
messy and loud and noisy and beautiful.
Right.
It's fine. Ask before you stick a finger in your dude's butt.
Or hers.
Yep, or hers butt. It's funny because we do these on Instagram. If you don't follow us on Instagram, which is weird to me, you should. But we do these five biggest mistakes you're making in bed videos. Mm-hmm. I think we have the fifth one left to still post. But the last one was about anal sex. And my friend called me, or someone in my somatica class said to me, well, I learned now, like, I can't just stick a finger in the butt. I'm like, why? She said, well, I learned that in your video. She actually learned. She didn't know. She's like, I just thought.
So now she's keeping her finger to
herself.
She
was always sticking fingers in guys' butts randomly. It's like a little surprise.
So please point her out next time,
like,
we're at
asks.
In the same room. I don't want to shake her hand.
Got it. She seemed pretty clean to me, though. So a towel nearby or in use is never, ever a bad idea. I agree. So this goes back to have a towel. Like, afterwards, if you come on her, like, if you, whatever, I think it's really nice for guys to, like, clean it off. Go to the bathroom. We've talked about this.
Warm. This is why I don't use those motel little hand, the washcloths. I never touch them because I just imagine that they're covered in semen.
Dude, everything in hotel rooms is covered in semen.
No, don't say that. I'm about to live in one for a week.
Especially that one.
Oh, M.
Don't touch the remote.
Don't touch the remote,
Dude. Yes. Don't touch the remote.
How am I supposed to get the TV on?
You should bring, like, wet wipes or something.
Yeah. But you probably have wet wipes now with the baby and all.
I got wet wipes galore.
You're right. Don't touch anything in there. I almost feel, I don't want to talk about it. It makes me really grossed out. So,
what
a towel.
That?
Oh, no. I'm just going to say, the one thing that doesn't get cleaned in the hotel is the remote.
Yeah.
Like, they have to clean everything.
Motel 6 is where I like to go, and I don't think much gets cleaned over there.
Now I'm really great. Now I can't even go on. But I'm just saying, a towel by your bed, whatever, you're going to, there's going to be some mess, and just wipe it up, especially if you, like, don't make her, although she has to get up and pee.
No matter how many times you're always like the towel or the shirt, it's always just out of arm's reach. So you got to do that awkward thing where you're, like, scrambling in the room to
try, you know,
and
it's
find something
to mop
up.
Keep it in your bedside drawer. Keep a little towel. Okay, it's true what they say about size. It really doesn't matter unless you have a pathologically small one. However, that doesn't mean there are no expectations laid upon you. How hard you can give it to her and how long does matter. Plenty, in fact. I like the first part of this. I don't even know what pathologically small means. It is really true that size does not. I'm telling you, like, just like the size of my breasts, guys wouldn't be with me because my breasts are not large enough. Size of your penis. We have preferences with
sex.
You
can't tell with the peen, though. You can tell with the breasts.
Right. Well,
out in public.
Yeah, but I could be wearing, you should have seen last week, I was wearing big
pad it up.
People, I was wearing a bra and I had, it was a push up and it was a thing and people, it was nice boobs, I had nice cleavage going on.
A little Dolly Parton thing going on?
Something going on. And you would think, so I could be lying. It could be a optical illusion that might, but I'm just saying, you guys, don't trip on your size. Cut your fingernails. This is a great one.
Yeah.
You got to. Because for guys and women.
I've dated girls who say that the first thing they do is they look at a guy's hands.
Yeah, it's true. This is going to be one of those things that people are like, I heard this on Sex with Emily. It is true. Guys, like, cut your fingernails, wash them, like, in the shower. Like, take one of those, even, like, those buff things and, like, get the dirt out.
The Dura thing.
Because guys, you do look at that. And I wonder, too, I hear you when you go to the bathroom. And you come out and you don't wash your hands and then you want to start fooling around.
Yeah.
Like, there's bacteria. But the fingernail thing is good, important too for guys because you can, like, rip her. Like, if you go inside and your fingernails are not even just dirty, you could snag her. You could, like, rip her.
I was on a date with a girl once and she said, look at your fingernails. All I can think of when I see that is if you finger bang me, it would hurt. And that was our last date. And I did not finger bang.
Right. Well, good. But now, but did you go? Have you cut your nails?
I think about that all the time, or like I did at least before I was, locked up. Where I was like, I want to make sure my hands don't look painful. You don't want those fingers to look painful.
It's true.
If you're a guy.
That would be a total. I agree. That's a good one. Let's see what else. It's okay for guys to make noise, and that girls dig it. Oh, so true. I want to give every guy permission to make noise.
Depends,
I think that guys don't realize that they're not making noise, and maybe guys repress it because they think that they don't know what noise to make. And it sounds weird. Mm-hmm. Or I think a lot of times guys were just trained for masturbation to be quiet because they were afraid someone was going to hear them.
Years of experience under the parents' roof.
Right. Yeah. Well, make some noise. We're not telling you what noise to make, but your body naturally wants to make a noise. Mm-hmm. And I love this one. It's nothing like porn. It doesn't. Don't have your expectations of sex be like, it's going to be just like this porn flick.
Unfortunately, a lot of these guys, I think, nowadays are making it just like porn because that's the only sex they know by the time they're actually having sex themselves.
They're trying to make it like porn and not understanding why it doesn't work.
Time to finish on your face now, honey.
I know. I'm trying to change
that. That means way less babies, though. That's kind of good for the population.
What, if they're coming in everyone's face?
Yeah, it's hard to get pregnant when it's on your face.
Shit could drip out. You don't know. You don't know, honey. It's not safe. It is true. It's nothing like porn. Nothing wrong with porn for titillation, but not for your... That's why we exist here, to help people titillate. Okay, so I think those were some of the highlights.
Yes, Reddit. Emily, look at Emily all hip on the Reddit. Love it.
I'm not hip on Reddit. I just am not...
Hey, you know Snapchat. Snapchat is the most confusing thing I've ever looked at.
Everyone says that, and I don't know how I figured it out, but I did. And, you did. I love my steps.
You kill it.
Thank you, honey.
From what I've heard, I can't figure it out.
I know. I don't know. One day, I literally got locked out of my house, and I had 10 minutes, and I just sat there, and I stared at it and figured it out. And then I Googled stuff. Here's the thing about Snapchat. I Googled, what does it mean to do-do-do?
Yeah. Or you can YouTube, and then a 12-year-old will say, okay, today we're going to be looking at how to do this on Snapchat. And they take like 7 minutes to get to it. Oh, I hate those videos.
I don't watch those videos.
You know what I'm talking about?
There's a YouTube video for everything.
Yeah, for everything. There's always like a 12-year-old who knows everything about the computer or the program that I'm trying to figure out, and it takes forever for them to get to it.
Well, that's not maybe.
Please like my page and subscribe.
Those might not be the people you want to go to. Okay, we can move on to emails, but first, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give a shout-out to our awesome sponsors because we love you, and thanks, everyone, for supporting our sponsors and for listening to the show, and we'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Hi, we're back. Anderson said, can I sit there? And I said, yeah, I think so. And then it turns out you can't because it says Mike 1 and I'm number 1.
Wow, it's so funny. All the shows that I do, like, that comes up on pretty much every single one of them. Like, I'm in the number 1 spot. You're in the number 2. It just comes up. It's such a psychological little thing.
I know. That's not why they told me I had to.
You're kidding.
It's mic'd specifically for Emily. Uh-huh. Like, all the volumes and the equilibrium and everything.
The equalizer. The EQ. Yes, yes, I got it.
The equilibrium. Whatever. And the equalizer.
How it moves.
Good to know producer Madison knows her terminology.
Not sound engineer Madison, I would like to point out.
So. Yeah, but dude, you're killing it on the sound, dude. You're freaking killing it.
No, the other shows that I do work on, though, like, they're always there, especially with Bald Brian. Like, he always demands, and I switch it when he's not looking, so I'm in the number 1 jack, and then he gets all, like, upset. It's pretty great.
Really? That's pretty awesome.
I'm on mic number 4, which makes me feel very inadequate. Yeah, and totally
but you always
inadequate.
Feel like that anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, I just feel natural though.
Okay, emails.
Yeah.
Let's get on to that, people. God, I keep doing this thing with my computer where it zooms in.
Oh, that's the double tap.
The double tap.
You know how I fix that? Turn the computer on and off.
No, I just shut the document.
The other day, like, I could not get the entire thing was double tap, so I just turned it on and off. And I have a tech guy who says that he makes 90% of his...
turning off and on things?
Yeah, 90% of his job is just going into people's offices and turning their computer on and off. He says 90% of what he gets paid for is rebooting people's computers.
I could do that if things don't work out.
It's another 10%, though. That's where he makes the big bucks.
Okay. So I have a question that you want me to answer on the show. I love that. And now it's so easy to submit your questions. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Ask Emily tab, fill out the form, hit submit. That's it. You can also leave me a voicemail. And that's 818-ASK-SWE1 and or 818-275-7931. And then there's also the, how about the thing on the form where they can be checked, click the box for being called.
Oh, to be called. Like, I would like to be called by Emily.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. We want you to leave voicemails if you want to just leave a voicemail. It's kind of fun. We've been peppering them in. Also, now, we're having calls. So we've done a few shows now where you can click the box when you submit your question that, yes, I would like to be considered for a phone call. And then Eddie will reach out to you and say, hey, can we set up a time to call? So click that box if you're interested in being, after you submit your question on the website. Does that make sense?
Yes, and Emily's not selling your information.
No, never. I promise I do not sell information. None of that. We just want to hear. I just think it's fun to talk to people.
Absolutely.
Not even fun. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. But we can really go deep and get there, and I can answer. Like, sometimes I'm listening going, wait, I don't know how old you are. I don't know what happened the day before.
I have no idea how many emails that I've covered with you on the show, Em, but I've never done one where I didn't have at least one question for the emailer, but they're not there, so right. You can't ask it.
And you were great on the last calling show we just did together. I'm like, that was our first or second one.
Despite my mic 4 status here. I'm always great.
You are always great. Okay. Here we go. Emily, I love your podcast. I have an interesting question that I'm hoping you can help with. I've just recently started to attempt online dating using OkCupid. It's going pretty well, but I have one issue that keeps popping up. I have a child, and while I don't talk nonstop about her in my bio or during conversations, she does come up multiple times on my page. It's obvious that I do have a kid, but I keep getting guys who message me that have don't want kids in their bio. I'm not sure if they're not reading my page or if they don't care and want to try anyways. Do I bring it up or just roll with things? I don't want to be like, hey, I got a kid right off the bat, because maybe they know that and are just trying anyways. Also, should I not reply to guys who don't want kids? I feel like there's an obvious answer, but I'm still confused. Thanks for any help. Check this, though. I know your face, Anderson, is going, what? Brittany, 19 years old,
ooh,
Illinois.
Brittany.
So she's 19. And so that makes, this is why your age is so important. I don't know how old the kid is. But we don't know, like, we'll never know if these guys are reading your bios or they just don't mind, is the truth. And we could assume that it's either not a big deal or maybe they overlooked it. But if you're messaged by a guy who seems interested in, you know, getting to know you and you want to get him, you could just, like, start a conversation with them and say, hey, so yeah, that sounds fun, but I noticed in your bio you said you don't want kids. I have a kid. You could just get it out of the way. You could also talk to them on the phone first, because I know that 19 people don't want to talk on the phone, but I think if you've matched with someone before you go on a date with them,
yeah,
don't you think it's better even if
I don't think that the younger people are going to think that, like 19-year-old Brittany, I don't think she's going to be down with the phone calls because she's younger, but it would really come in handy, Brittany, because you could be like talking to, like, say, Joe Schmo, and then like say, yeah, so anyways, I'm glad that you like my hey, would you be quiet? Like, yelling at your kid off the phone.
Oh, sorry, that's my daughter.
Yeah, my daughter's putting her diaper on her head again. Sorry.
That's actually not a bad idea. Working in a conversation. But I think you're overthinking. I mean, obviously I understand why, but you could just take the guesswork out of it. Just get to the bottom of it. I bet you a lot of guys are saying, I don't want kids now.
Right. Especially in your age bracket.
Yeah, because you're 19.
So and if they don't want kids, perfect. They like kids and you have one. They don't have to have one of their own.
They might be like, I don't want to be a dad right now.
Right.
And I don't know what you're looking for, Brittany. So again, I think I get that it's also at 19, not as many women on the dating sites might have a kid. Mm. But that's also, I think, you know, where you stand out. You'll find the guy that's like, wow, that's awesome that you're a mom. And I'm cool with that because I love you and they'll fall in love with your kid. And yeah. Maybe.
These are probably 22, 23-year-old screwballs. She should put it, it sounds like she's already put it in her bio, and she should put it like towards the top of the bio. So if the guy doesn't know about it, it's his own fault for just looking at a picture and being a pig. You know what I mean? So that if it turns out to be an issue later, she can say, hey, it's right there in the front of my bio that I'm a single mom.
Right.
And also, a little preachy, just be careful, Brittany, you don't have another kid with somebody else now. Okay.
Right, wear condoms.
Let's be careful.
Protection
19 is
pill.
A little 19's young.
19's young. It is young.
And so finally, do not be introducing your kid to any of these you're dating. This person, whoever you introduce your kid to, I don't know how old your kid is. I'm assuming very young. But once the kid is old enough to understand what's going on, make sure that this is a real solid person in your life.
Right. Because that's how you mess kids up.
Really mess them up with guys coming and going.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you're entitled to do. you're young and you got to live your life. No, it's good. You got to play the field and figure out who's right for you, but don't be introducing your young child to that.
So there's a part of me that, yeah, exactly. Don't introduce the kid. And also don't go back and forth. You could also take the other approach and not even talk to these guys. Be like, the ones who didn't read my profile and they say they don't want kids, let's just assume it's not your guy. Because he didn't read and he doesn't want kids in the profile.
But I mean, casual dating, you don't know what it's going to lead to. And it, just because I could see a lot of 22, 23 year old guys saying they don't want kids, but they'd be willing to go out on a date with a girl who has a kid. One.
Yeah. It could be good practice. Okay. So, you know, I say just go with your eyes open. And also, yes. I know that you're dating online, which I love, but it's also great to let your friends know you want to date and just put yourself out there. And good luck to you. But it gets confusing.
We had a girl that hung out in our circle of friends and she used to date around a lot of us and she had a kid. And her nickname was Baggage. And people would actually call her Baggage to her face. She went with it. She thought it was kind of funny. But it's like, hey, have you seen Baggage?
Nice.
Where's Baggage?
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that could be her nickname. Actually, people would get it.
Baggage Brittany. Maybe you can make that your name on your profile. There in your face. Oh, no. Did you say that?
I just said that. But you don't listen to me.
I don't. I saw you making faces at Madison. I get scared because you guys edit me sometimes when I say bad things.
No, that's because we're calling her Baggage. But I think she sounds super. Her confusion is just like, which guy do I date or not? So just eyes open. Yeah, how do I figure it out? Okay, 52-year-old straight married male from Colorado who listens via the Overcast podcast app. I love what he did here because I always ask you all name, age, where you live, how you listen. He just nailed it. I have an issue I have yet to hear on your show. My wife of 19 years comes too quickly. Yes, she actually orgasms and isn't faking. It takes very little for her to reach climax, and once she does, she is done. Me, on the other hand, takes a very long time. Obviously, this proves to be a problem as she comes first and is done. She isn't too much into foreplay as she ends up coming early. So everything I have been taught falls apart completely. She doesn't like giving oral. She will sometimes, but never to completion. Because she comes so quickly, she is always in a rush to get me to finish. Once she's done, she starts questioning me if I'm done. Major turnoff. Is there anything you can suggest to make her last longer and be more into it? Thanks, Dennis, 52, Colorado. He's right. We don't get this a lot. No. We often hear from women who are like, he comes too quickly. Like, there's this orgasm gap, like we always talk about. And what do you do about this? But they've been together 19 years.
I'm going to be quiet on this one and just let you go at it. And I'm going to keep you honest, though. So go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say.
I'm feeling pressure. Why are you keeping? Because you think I'm going to reverse it because it's a man, and I'm not. I'm going to say the exact same thing.
You know what?
Thing.
I don't want. Yeah. If this was reversed, how? Yeah, much but that's when shit I read would you this, be giving thought, this guy? If the guy was like, "All right, are you done yet? Are you done yet?
Your wife's a bitch. I can't believe she
you
doesn't
would be
care
doing
about
that
you.
If it was a guy, kind of.
I do not. I've never said anything negative
can
about
you
men.
Imagine
or women.
A guy who finishes real fast and then starts to try and get his girlfriend or wife to finish, and he's like, "Are you finished? Are you done yet?" Looking at his watch.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
You would give that guy shit.
I wouldn't give him shit. Mm-hmm. I would just say, I never say guys, or I don't yell at anyone.
You don't yell at anyone.
Menace has this too. He's like, you've done this before. He's like, you would totally da da da. I just say,
we call people douchebags. You and I agree that people are douchebags when we get emails.
I don't love to label people. I feel like we all have good and bad in us.
Cannot judge.
I really try not to judge. Let's just talk about this, okay? We don't talk a lot because it doesn't come up. And that doesn't, what I love too is though, just because we don't get emails over this, I'm sure there are other men in his situation who for sure have this experience.
Nicole Richie's one of these.
What?
Yeah, Nicole Richie, she was on Loveline talking about how she comes really fast all the time. Says she sits on the cold floor in the bathroom and she comes. She's just constantly coming quick. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah, there are some women that are like that.
There are definitely some women. And I feel like... okay, so when this situation is reversed, as it often is, I always make it clear that the man needs to be sensitive to his partner's needs and to slow down, make sure that she's taken care of. And I'm going to say the same exact thing here, that I understand that you guys are in your routine after being together for so long, but things got to change here because I love that she can come so quickly. That's awesome. But she can also, you guys can slow this down with, foreplay and let her know, first of all, conversation. Have you talked to her about this? You have to let her know, not just like, you need to slow down or I need a blowjob, but like, how does it make you feel that she's kind of disregarding your pleasure? Like, it probably doesn't feel very good. You're probably feeling like neglected and not very sad. Clearly, you're not satisfied. And just let her know that like, it's something that's like really important to you and that you both got to be getting your needs met.
The only thing that really is a trigger here, though, is her saying, are you done yet? and her being impatient. Otherwise, she's doing the Lord's work, right? She's actually taking care of him after she's finished.
She's not, though. She's not. She sometimes gives him blowjobs. Sometimes she doesn't.
I thought most of the time she does. No, but when she does, okay. When she does, she's like looking at her watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's like, I'm done. And now maybe you guys are busy. You got kids. I get it. There's a lot that goes on and you get into these routines. But she could probably learn to have multiple orgasms, first of all. If she has one and she's done, I think that she's missing out on a lifetime of like having multiples. Like it's never too early to start, never too late to start learning to have orgasms. And like, here's the thing about sex. If she could also like you could start with foreplay, fooling around, and then she could, she could have an orgasm. Then she could start pleasing you. You could, if you need to like, bring in like a fleshlight, you guys.
I thought you were going to say her sister or something.
Bring in her sister, have a threesome. You know, she can take a break and like after Emily's she has an orgasm.
Kind of kidding.
No, but I'm saying like the refractory period for women to have like multiple orgasms. Right. Like if she quickly orgasms, she might not have tried it. Like a lot of women just think they're done. And she could truly like be going down on you, but then also like using a vibrator, using her fingers. And I bet she can get back on top of you and have an orgasm again. So I think this can kind of be a fun way for you guys to like relearn how you're having sex. And so I just think that, she doesn't like blowjobs. I'm not sure what that's about. She doesn't want to finish you. So bring some porn into the situation. Like, I don't think that you have to live like this any longer. I don't like that they're having sex and he's not having this climax. I can see why this is frustrated after 19 years. That just makes me feel like this is going to be some work, though, because they're setting their routine.
Yeah, 19 years. You got to mix it up.
Yep.
Try taking her out to a hotel to start the new mix-up. And usually a new environment would be a good place to start a new routine, and then you can maybe bring it back to the house. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And also, there on the off chance that like she has one after 10 minutes, and then it takes him 45 minutes, he's not being specific here.
This is what I want to say.
If he's on the phone, we're going to ask that. Maybe he is a delayed ejaculator, and that he doesn't even realize because he's been with her so long.
Well, thank you, Anderson. That's exactly what I was thinking. I doubt it. There are some, but it's a possibility. But here's the thing. I've been with delayed ejaculators, or as Drew always says, like retarded ejaculation. We try to cut that out, but that's actually what it's called, medically speaking. But there are some guys who literally it takes them an hour and a half, or they just can't orgasm.
They're called meth heads.
No, that's not true. I've been with one of these guys before, and it takes forever, and it was frustrating. I was like, I'm really good at, I got to say, I know how to give a killer blowjob.
And you ladies always blame yourselves. No, like, am I not hot enough?
I knew enough to know, but I'm wondering if that's your situation as well, in which case you might not even know Daniel because you have been with her for so long. But if you do take an hour, which is fine, we're never going to, women take 45 minutes, an hour sometimes. It's just that we got to look at the whole situation here, and you guys just got to find a new dance together. That's all it is. And make sure that, she's on the page with this and realizing that she might not know how you're feeling, how much this is.
Yeah, have her listen to this.
Have her listen to this. Have a good time together. Grow your sex life. Actually, you need to anyway. You need to be expanding it. Okay, I do. We all do. Everyone does. I can't wait till you start talking about your sex life when you guys start. I'm assuming you haven't had sex yet, Anderson.
It's been a dark spot, yeah.
I know.
It's been a dark spot.
Do you need some lube? Okay. Hi, Emily. My question is how to tell if you should let a new partner know that you are, as many people call it, a squirter. Some backstory. I met a man while traveling. We've been talking a while, and since now he's coming to visit. When we initially met, we did not share any sexual interactions aside from a hug and a kiss on the cheek when we left each other. I know that when I have sex, I produce a lot of female ejaculate. Yeah. And if previous measures are not taken, the bed isn't suitable to sleep in afterwards.
Right.
I want to give him a heads up, but I don't really know how to approach this. Also, I don't want him to be disappointed if for some reason I don't squirt the first time with him, because on occasion doesn't happen, though it mostly does.
Right.
I have one partner. I have one other friend who has this issue many times, and she always struggles with telling new partners. So tell, how to tell, when to tell, let it be a surprise. Let me know. With love, Sage.
Sage. Good name, Sage.
I love it. I think that you don't need to make a big deal about it before at all. If it happens, he'll be totally psyched. But you don't want to tell him too early because like you'd be like, I squirt and like set up this whole thing and then you don't squirt.
But if you have a sense of humor about it, and he does too, have you ever seen Dexter?
No.
Dexter, like he'd set up kill rooms every episode and he would kill his victim in there and he would line everything with cellophane. And that'd be kind of a funny way to like let him know. And you line the entire bedroom with cellophane, and then you walk him in there,
right?
And like, and he's like, "What's going on?" And you just look at him and go, "I'm a squirter." Honey. So like, that'd be a fun way.
That would be a fun way.
Yeah, he'd always remember it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Cellophane. Does he really?
I'd be really excited if I walked in with a girl and I'm like, "Why are you going to kill me? Are you going to murder me right
exactly.
now?"
Exactly. No, I'm just going to squirt all
just
over
gonna
you.
Just going to squirt.
Exactly. That's actually not a bad setup idea. Cellophane, although that wouldn't totally work, and you could also suffocate yourself with this. Yeah, but
I guess so.
I think you should just, when you guys start fooling around, I don't know where you're going to be, at your house, or you're going to be in a hotel. If you want to like make sure that your sheets are fine, just pull out like a blanket or an extra blanket or towels and be like, hey, sometimes it gets really like messy. Sometimes it gets really wet in here. And you just throw it down, see what happens.
Yeah.
And just take once.
Do they have terry cloth sheets?
Yes. So if you want to safeguard your sheets, Liberator actually makes a safe blanket for that. It's called the Liberator Fascinator Throw Moisture Resistant Sex Blanket. I'm assuming they probably have it at Good Vibrations. You could use code Emily and get a discount there. We don't have it on our site yet. We do have a lot of sex toys on our site, though. So you should check that out.
I know that.
So it's a throw blanket that absorbs fluids, no more wet spots. So that's a cool thing. You could also just use your beach towels or throw some towels down and just have them by the bed. Like we said, always have a towel by the bed.
Have a towel by the bed.
Sometimes you need a bigger towel by the bed if you're a squirter. But right. I agree. Like I've gotten wet before in that capacity. And
have you? Really? Em just got a little bit bashful when she was telling me that.
I squirt.
You were like looking the other way a little
bit. I want to.
If a lot of you guys did, I'm realizing that hotels, back to the hotel life, they would have squirting rooms and non-squirting rooms probably, right? Like if there was more of you guys in the population, they probably would. Because they have like smoking rooms, non-smoking
rooms.
They'd
be like, well, they don't even have that anymore.
Animal rooms.
Non-smoking. Yeah. Like, do you squirt or not squirt?
Yeah, squirting rooms.
It'd be a great way to know your partner. Right, exactly. Can you imagine though, like let's go back to, I don't really want to go back to the dirtiness hotel rooms, but if you like get soaked a mattress, they're not going to like change the mattress out.
They might flip it.
They'll flip the mattress. Oh my God.
Because they're doing work. Oh, the reason why this keeps coming up is they're doing work on the house that my wife and I rent because there was a massive leak in the bathroom and there's contractors in there for 3 full weeks with the newborn. We have a newborn, a cat, and 3 dogs, and we're nomadic right now. So we're staying at motels, hotels, in-laws. It's brutal.
That is brutal.
And now I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Exactly. I can't even sleep thinking about you there tonight. But babe, dude. Don't worry. Babe, Sage, you're cool. You're good. Tell your friend to just don't overthink it. Just make sure there's a towel there. Throw it down.
Yeah, and make
the
sure there's time, a beach towel. A big towel.
That's what happens. And he's going to be psyched that you squirt. But I wouldn't be like, listen, we need to talk. I'm a squirter. Most of these things that people are emailing about like are not major. Even, can I go back to Daniel for a second?
Yeah.
This with the wife, Daniel in Colorado. Like, I feel like this is going to be a big conversation. Like, these 19 years, we need to talk. I'm really upset. Just be like, babe, you know what happens with us, with the coming, and then you come, and then I don't. Like, let's just like have some fun and figure out a way that we can both come. Like, make it tone, all that, very important.
And with Sage, just like when it starts to happen, I don't think you want to have a precursor like over dinner. Like, by the way, if we bang later tonight, this
I
might happen.
May not squirt.
Like when it starts going down, like, you know, whisper in his ear, like sometimes I get a little messy and grab like a towel or sometimes and he'll be stoked. He'll probably be all that more engaged right after you say whisper that in his ear.
I just got even more engaged. I think that's hot. The way you said it,
sometimes I get really messy down there.
Right, exactly.
But you don't want it to sound like maybe she has Crohn's disease either. That could totally throw it for a loop.
That's why I said messy, but I meant it gets wet.
And you don't want to say moist.
No one wants to say moist. If they can avoid it for the rest of their lives, they should not say moist.
How would you say it?
You just say sometimes it gets wet.
I guess squirt. You got to say the word squirt word. Like sometimes I'm okay with squirt. Sometimes. Yeah, every guy knows that for the most part.
Well, if they've been watching porn. Okay.
My vagina thinks it's a fireman. That doesn't work? No? Like a fire hose?
Putting out fires? No.
Okay.
Hi, Emily. I love your show. I'm a 24-year-old.
My vagina sneezes a lot. No, that's no good either.
No. Yeah. It is messy, though. If you've ever been, like, it does the whole mattress. It's like a thing. Okay. Love your show. I'm a 24-year-old female with a 27-year-old male partner. We've been together 2.5 years. I recently snooped on his phone and found a conversation with his best friend where he described a sexual dream he had about a mutual friend of ours. This mutual friend is, of course, athletic, toned, and muscular, exactly his type. I confessed to snooping. We talked through it. These texts didn't make me think he was cheating or even interested in her, but now I keep thinking about the fact that he thinks she is so attractive. This is especially hard for me since he likes athletic women, which she is, and I don't always have that body type, only when I'm exercising regularly. It's not that I think he doesn't find me attractive. I just keep thinking that he thinks she and other women are more attractive. This leaves me feeling less attractive in bed and in general. I probably shouldn't expect my partner to think I'm the most attractive person. I get it, but now I can't get over my self-esteem issues and feeling lesser than. Please help. Caitlin, age 24. She also sent the text exchange, which...
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I know. So this is... I get it. So here's the thing, Caitlin. It's normal for men and women to find other people attractive in a relationship. This is just a fact of life. This is going to happen. But I get that by you snooping, which I'm not going to judge because I honestly feel that everybody snoops these days, right? Mm-hmm. That it's... This is going to be particularly harder for you because you read this dream that or this fantasy he had about this girl. Was it a dream? He had a dream, a fantasy?
He had a dream about her.
Here's the
which
thing.
Is involuntary.
True. But either way.
And don't read it in the subconsciousness.
No, but fantasies, maybe he fantasized about her. Who knows? But
you
fantasies,
dream so many random things, though. It's not because he wanted to necessarily.
Right. But that's the thing about fantasy. In fact, fantasy is important in a relationship because it gives us the variety that we don't get from being with other partners. So to have an active fantasy life and to be thinking about other people, I know that a lot of when you're married or committed, you think it's a horrible thing. It's like cheating. And it's not. It's a part our brains work. It keeps things exciting. It's part of keeping our eroticism alive, actually, is having an active fantasy. It doesn't mean that that's what he wants in real life. And you just got to trust him. Like, I feel like you already do trust him. But what has happened here now, Caitlin, is that this is wreaking havoc on your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Which probably, like a lot of women, wasn't, you know, it's always teetering a little bit. Like, we're always kind of working on strengthening it. But I think that you really have to... It goes back to the confidence thing and just trusting that, you know, he finds you attractive and that you also love yourself, love your body, find yourself attractive. So when you find yourself obsessing about this, which I get it. I've snooped and then I found things out and I've been obsessive.
You've ruminated. Yeah.
I've ruminated for sure. Maybe I am OCD. We talked about that earlier.
Before the show.
I don't think I wish I was OCD.
You have a little twinge of OCD. Let's move on.
I don't think that there's anything that your boyfriend can do to reassure you now and make you feel better. This is your job, okay, Caitlin? So your job is to work on your confidence, your body, like if you got to be masturbating more, coming up with your own fantasies and what really turns you on, because you say it's also affecting your behavior in the bedroom. So for me, this is a great opportunity, I think, for you. What I suggest, it's a great opportunity for you to say, you know what? I'm going to feel sexy again, or whatever makes you feel the sexiest. And this is a fun experience, like whether it's like watching porn and getting to know your body. Maybe you can have multiple orgasms. Maybe you can have G-spot. Maybe you can squirt. Who knows what? But really, like, work on taking control, learning your own body, what makes you feel good, feeling confident. He's not cheating. He's having a fantasy.
What do you think, Anderson? A little shady with him talking to his friend about it, though, especially since it's like they can't ever hang out with that girl again without her feeling really awkward now.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how good the friend was.
Like, if I had a sexual dream about you or Madison, it's not like you're going to be like texting Carano saying, dude, you won't believe this, man. I was having this dream that I was double teaming Madison and M last night. Like, I want to do that.
You're not 24.
That's a good point. But even when I was 24, I'm different.
You would have been 24.
Yeah, I would not have. You. I had little sisters and a mom that I loved. I was very, I never kissed and told, ever.
Okay. But a lot of guys
do. It's not just you that I don't.
And maybe it was his best friend that he was like, hey, I had this fantasy, you know, this text thing. But I feel like self-esteem issues are an inside job. So whether if it's really getting bad, maybe you, therapy, I think it's great. A place to go and learn to love yourself.
Use it, you know, use that energy in a good way. And like, there's nothing wrong with maybe getting a little bit better shape to make yourself feel better about yourself. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not body shaming by any means. But being a healthier you is not a bad thing at all. Use this energy and as motivation, maybe. I know that I feel a lot better about myself and my relationships, whether it's now or in the past, if I had a little bit of a toned body or I just felt better from, like, you know, wailing on the pecs every now and again. So
it is true. It is true.
A lot of energy to expend too.
But I've been working out, but I haven't lately, and I feel like my skin's crawling.
You look ripped. You really do.
But the point is, I need it for my mental space in my head. It feels so much better.
Get addicted to those endorphins. It's great.
True. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Caitlin. Let us all know how it goes. I love when we get the follow-ups of how things go and how we help people.
Yes.
Or we didn't help people.
Yeah,
anything goes. Let us know. That's what we got time for. Thanks, Anderson, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Em.
Leaving your baby to come see us. We love it.
Yes, I know. I've abandoned my boy to be here.
It's okay.
I'll be back.
He'll get used to it. Okay, so thank you, everyone. Thank you, Anderson. Thank you, producer Madison. Thank you, Eddie and Lori and Jamie. And also, you guys, thank you for subscribing. You can subscribe anywhere. iTunes is great, and you can review the show, tell your friends about it. Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, all that. And thank you so much for listening. Was it good for you? Email me. Feedback at sexwithemily.com.